Mr. Roy Smith, Reel 3. Now, so you were based at Jumpers Bastion, and how long were you doing this business for, checking ships for Olympic mines, that kind of thing? I know you find that.
Well, I don't know. It's very difficult because we went to Iran.
When did you go to Iran?
Do
you mean Iran?
Oran, O-R-O.
Oran, yes.
Oran. Well, we did a parade there because our adjutant, there's a picture of him in the book. We did a victory parade thing there. And
that would be at the end of the war
When they came out through Tunisia, I would think. Because we did battle training with them, you see, when we were over there.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, it was mostly tanks and infantry. And if a tank got hit a mine, we used to deploy with our bayonets and stab them in the ground and find out where all the mines were. And not a very nice job, but nobody ever, I don't remember anybody being hurt when doing that. And the sappers used to come and...
That's just practice, though, you're talking about now. Are you talking about practice there, or the real thing?
The real thing.
So when would you be clearing mines in Iran?
Well, we used to go, what do they call it, actual training or something, when we had to join the forward troops. They took a few at a time. Some NCOs went first to get real battle training, I suppose. But we didn't see very much. It was lots of long-distance artillery fire, but it was always aimed at the tanks. It was never aimed at us, and so...
I'm losing touch a bit with what you're doing in Iran, because that's a long, long way from the battlefront.
I know it is.
I mean, it's 400 or 500 miles
yes,
away.
Yes, I know. But what the devil they sent... See, some of them were doing embassy guard at... where was that? And then we got into Alex, and they brought us back from Alex when we went to Gibraltar again in a Liberty boat, just below deck on a Liberty, just standing for the crossing.
So... So you weren't ever on the business of guarding the... You weren't on the ceremony of the keys or any of this other... guarding the rock. You were always... When you were on the rock, you were on
Our battalion, they did our drums and, the band. We took the band to Gibraltar with us.
But you didn't.
I don't remember.
You were always on this diving party. Mm-hmm. So what's the next thing you remember?
Going back to Gibraltar and... big Liberator bomber crashed with Sikorsky on board while we were there.
Now tell me about that.
Well, the mail plane always used to come in from over Spain along the front of the runway was at the rock faces there, and the runway was on this side of it, and all the planes had to come in over Spain to land. Well, this Liberator bomber was taking off, and it crashed into the sea just out in what we called Sandy Bay, and Haggis he went out. I didn't go, but he went out, and they had to dive it, and they got this Sikorsky man out and his daughter. But what, I don't know how they played a part in the war. I mean, it didn't mean much to us because he was Polish, was he not?
So you didn't know much about it, you just knew it had
happened. We saw the thing happen, and they brought it on pontoons round to the other rock, to the other side of the rock. And yes, I did go and see it there.
And what state was it in?
And it was pretty bad state, but they'd got horses on it, and they were lifting it off the buoy things onto the side, and one of the horses snapped. And there was some, we used to call them Caliantes, the Gibraltarians, standing there, and all of a sudden one fell, and he hadn't got a head on. Just took his head straight off the hawser when it broke. That's what I remember of that.
Now, were you ever... it said your battalion used to provide working parties to assist the Royal Engineers in digging.
Yes.
Did you ever do that?
No, I didn't get.
So again, you.
I dodged that.
And what was life
oh,
like?
Oh no! Wait a minute. I've got. Oh, I'm hooked up, aren't I?
Well, they can't see pictures anyway, so there's no point.
If you go and have a look in. I didn't do any of that. No.
You didn't. That's right. Now, so anything else you remember? What was life like at Gibraltar?
Drink. Housey. Boredom. And I was there when I did go and see that. They broke through a tunnel and they came into a huge, well, big cavity. There was these, what do they call them, hanging stalactites. Well, there was those, and there was this pool. It was beautiful. They broke into that, and I did go and look at that. Because it was honeycomb, the rock.
Did you get to explore the tunnels at all?
Well, a little bit, yes. But
what was it like in there?
And then there was also the concrete, I don't know what they call it, went out into the sea. And we were when we had to stand too, we went into this concrete thing. And, we were in there for nearly a week at one time.
What is this concrete thing?
Well, it's like a pier that ran out into the sea where you could control the entrance to the whole of the Mediterranean, because it wasn't so far across, you see. And when they always seemed to think that they would invade through Spain, but they never did.
Now, what happened next?
And, in there, and then we came out, this is when I got wrong, the only time I got wrong in the army.
Tell me the story.
We'd been in there for 10 days anyway, and we came out, and some officer said we'd been cramped up, and they took us for a route march all over the rock, which was terrible, because it was hard work walking on the rock. And I came back, and I was writing a letter home, and I put in the letter what had happened. I said, some of these officers are like little boys pulling the wings off flies and letting them buzz about in a window. And a Captain Bartram censored the letter, sent for me, and I was put on CO's orders. And the CO is a picture of him in that book, actually, Peters. So I had to go on and march me in. The RSM marched me in, and he'd got this letter, and he said, what have you got to say for yourself, Smith? I said, well, sir, I didn't write the letter to Captain Bartram. I sent it to my girlfriend. Oh. Case dismissed. He gave me the letter back.
So you got away with it.
Mm-hmm. What was the charge? Writing insubordinate phrases in a letter. I think that's what the charge was. But when I said it, well, it wasn't sent to Captain Bartram. He was the man that censored it. And I said, I didn't write the letter to Captain Bartram. It was written to my girlfriend.
Now, anything else about Gibraltar before you leave? Because you leave
in
July.
I don't think so.
You leave in July 44, don't you? According
yes,
to the book.
Yes, I.
Now, where'd you go to?
Two little narrow ships. We were on one called the Hylee. It wasn't a troop ship.
They're all one word, Hylee.
No, I think it was two words. There were two. One, it was so small it couldn't take the whole battalion. And we landed by Naples.
And what was the voyage like?
Hmm?
What was the voyage like?
Smooth, no bother.
Now, what do you remember about the service in Italy?
Well, start with when we were just below Naples and the volcano was erupting. What's it? Vesuvius, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrific sight. And as you lay on the ground, you could hear it rumbling. It was weird.
And so what were you doing?
Well, then we were taken forward. I mean, and I forget who we relieved. But at that time, we went through Cassino, but it had been more or less taken when we got there. And we didn't bump the enemy till we got beyond Rome, I think it was.
It says to the Riverano area. Would that be right?
No, no, that's right up north. That's by Florence, Riverano. We crossed over it. There was a Bailey Bridge we went over at Arno.
Okay, so is that late? Is that well, not
that's
where you...
That's further on, yes.
Okay. So you went past Cassino, past Rome.
We went through Rome. They didn't defend Rome at all.
And what evidence of the fighting did you see? Was there much damage?
Not in Rome, no.
No, I mean generally.
Oh, Cassino was an awful mess. I mean, I don't know how many were killed there, but it was a terrific amount. It makes the casualties of today's wars look silly, I mean.
So what happened after Rome?
Well, then we advanced and, he was withdrawing and, well, we bumped into him and we didn't. And then we were using transport then. Well, it was just typical sporadic warfare. We advanced and you didn't know when. There was no entrenched. They defended the hills and positions. And then you took that and then you would go miles and never meet another German. And then there'd be another lot. It was peculiar.
Now, in your battalion history, which I know you think is inaccurate, it seems to indicate you did most... You started fighting in the Florence area.
Well, that's where the real fighting started there, yes. It was... He withdrew quite a long from... What did they call it? The Gothic line or something they called it. But it was very fluid and very quick. He withdrew to this Gothic line, which was about the Florence area, and it was hilly, and it was easily defended, you see.
And you got there, it seemed to have got there around about August, 44.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now we lost quite a lot of men there.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, flies and... See, it was... You'd be advancing over open country, and suddenly you'd come under fire from a Spando, and, you just... got down and they used mortars and what have you, and they were just little parcels of Germans, I think, just left there, just abandoned, I think they were, because we didn't get any aircraft in Italy at all against us.
So it's very sporadic, the fighting at first.
Well, they defended hilltops and all this sort of villages and things like that. It was...
Now what do you remember of your first action or first real action?
Not very much. I remember being in a dugout, and I forget what his name was. He was leaning over the parapet, because we used to dig little weapon pits. We weren't trenches, and he fell out over the front, dead, and we had to stay in the trench in that dugout with him for about a week. And it was hot weather, terrible, terrible. So we didn't move him, because if we'd moved him, they'd know the weapon pit was occupied. You see.
Now, what were the conditions like? I mean, what were the trenches like? What sort of
trenches? Well, you just dug a weapon pit. They weren't trenches. You didn't... I mean, there was one instance where we advanced and we were dugging in our weapon. And there was a farm. It's very open country around there, other than the hills. And there was a farm building which they thought was occupied by Germans through the night as a listening post. And so we went to it in daylight. About two sections of it, I think, and we all came away except one, and he stayed in there till that night. And of course the German did come back, and he shot several of them, and they ran away. He got a medal, actually, that lad.
And then
booby traps was another thing. They used to booby trap everything.
Well, so what kind of booby traps? Tell me about
that. You could see a Luger or so, something there. Well, boy, that's grand. If you picked it up, it was booby-trapped. And then amongst the vines there, you put tripwires with booby-traps on, and teller mines and S-mines. And then there was one place where this sort of isolated building, and we were always taught never to walk into an isolated building, but the door was hanging, and they put a rope on the door, and went back. Well, there were some old weapon pits where... this wasn't me, of course. There were some weapon pits where the Germans had. Of course, they lay in these weapon pits, pulled the string to pull the door off, and the weapon pits went up. That's the sort of nasty things they did.
Now, what about your condition? What was your food like out there?
Well,
what food did you
get? Most M&V, mostly, and
meat and vegetables.
Meat and vegetables.
What McConaughey's all.
Yes, that's right. And we used to get tin bacon wrapped in greaseproof, which had to be cooked. Of course, we had hydro burners for cooking.
What other food?
Porridge, plenty of porridge. We didn't get fresh meat very often. But, of course, the Italians were starving, and, you know, if we were sort of static, and everybody got porridge, well, nobody had it, and they had tins, and everybody put it in, and these Italians were fighting for, oh, terrible. It was Bambino Malata, Bambino Malata, oh, dear me.
How did you get on with the Italians?
Very well. When we went into some buildings or a village, they showed us where the booby traps were, they showed us where the mines were. They used to call them Tedeschi. They didn't like Tedeschi. They didn't like the Germans. They're very, very friendly.
But very hungry.
Oh, God, it was terrible. Dreadful. Because they took everything. They took their wine. They took everything. They took their cattle. They took their pigs. They took the sheep. Because the Germans were living off the land. I mean, they'd been abandoned, really, I think. And they just fought this. And Fiesole, well, there's a picture of Fiesole in the book. It was pretty awful when we took it.
When was that? That's quite later on, isn't it?
Yes,
Now, what actions do you
remember? I've got a map, actually, of the places where we did take it, marked on the map.
Well, now, what do you remember of the in order, what do you remember of the fighting? I know it's very difficult, but...
Well, it was very spasmodic. I mean, you didn't...
Well, just pick on a few instances. If you can attach
Well, that particular instance where the laddie was out of the thing, well... Oh, no, that was later on when we were stuck and we were being shelled.
Now, what was it like under shell fire? That's something people don't experience now. What was it like as far as you can concern?
Well, it's difficult to explain. They were high-velocity things. I mean, Effie and I were standing on a ridge just north of Florence, with a 30 underweight truck, because a little bit further north we had the resort of mules. But we were standing by this 30 underweight truck. It had a tin front, canvas back, and a spare wheel bolted onto the... between the two on the front of the berg. And we were standing there, and there's this almighty whoosh which knocked us off our feet. And this 88, it went through, and it took the spare wheel completely out of the thing. But it must have been armour-piercing because it went several hundred yards on before it exploded. But the force of it threw us off our feet.
And what was it like? I mean, what would you do on the shell fire? Just cling to the ground? Or what?
Well, yes, because I remember we just brought the wagon. The sanitary corporal had just brought a water wagon up, and there were lots of little taps all around it for filling water bottles. And we came on, they started to... came under shell fire, and I got flat on the ground, and Effie, he was crouching by the side of the wheel, and I shouted, "Get down, Effie." He said, "It's muddy." And he didn't. It was ridiculous. But then it was all over and done with it in a flash.
What about mortar fire? Was that the same or worse?
Well,
Leberwerfer's.
It was very, not much different to the... It wasn't as noisy as the... Their 88 was a tremendous gunner. And then there was one place where they called it the Mad Mile. And Effie and I were in a truck. We went ahead, and There was a platoon. We were attached to the 7th American Army, incidentally, under Mark Clark.
Oh, well, tell us a bit about that first. What about the attachment? How did it work being attached?
Hmm?
How did it work being attached to the Americans?
Well, we didn't like them.
Why not?
Because they wouldn't have anything to do with the black troops. And the black troops weren't allowed to carry arms. They dug all the latrines and did all the... They were allowed to be drivers, and they wouldn't eat with the Americans. I don't think they were allowed to eat with the white Americans, to be quite honest. But they liked us, and we used to get on well with the dark, with the...
And you resented the way they were treated?
I do, indeed. Because they were... They used to call themselves... they called themselves niggers. This nigger boy, they used to talk... They used to call themselves that, which I daren't say in this day and age, but they referred to themselves as niggers, nigger boys, and they were lovely fellas. But they did all the dirty works. They didn't carry arms, I'm sure they didn't.
And you did that cause rows? So how did you get on with the American troops then?
We didn't like the Americans because invariably when there was an advance, we were in the British 1st Infantry Div, we made a hole and the Yanks went through, and that's how it seemed to us every time. But this particular time, we were going down this road, and it was a long, straight road, and there's a high feature we were going towards. And as we were going forward with a 30-hundredweight truck, we've got to prepare something for them when the troops march through. Well, as we went forward, there was a smoke battalion putting smoke. And as we progressed down, the smoke was coming on. Well, of course, from that minute on, they just bombarded this road, and there's an awful lot of soldiers killed marching along in that smoke. Had it been there when we started, nothing would have happened. But you see, they saw us, and the smoke started to appear, and it was about a mile of it, easily a mile, this long straight road. And they called themselves a smoke unit, I think, that used to make this smoke. But they knew that something was coming along, and we lost a lot of men that day.
Any other stories from the fighting? I think it's a bit episodic for you, but so it's best probably to keep it that way.
Well, mules are another thing. I mean, when later on, it was so wet, and the only transport we got was mules, and we used to take, Effie and I, we were taking supplies forward and food forward, and we brought wounded men back on the stretchers, on mule stretchers, which was a terrible, terrible mode of transport for an injured man, but you couldn't carry them. The medical unit, I mean, it couldn't, we were so dispersed that they couldn't attend to everybody. But those they did, I mean, they gave them a shot of morphine and put them on a mule stretcher. We used to take them back. And about that particular time, the adjutant had been hit with a piece of shell fire, and he was on a stretcher on the ground, waiting to be put on a mule, and he got a direct hit with a shell and killed him, poor man. Peter Folger, our adjutant, he was a wonderful bloke. But I don't know.
Any of the characters you remember from the battalion?
The RSM was a character.
Who was he? What was his name?
Vigas. Bulletproof, we called him. I forget what his name was. Bulletproof. But he found some Germans. He chased them out with a bayonet. He found them hiding in a thing. He took them prisoner himself.
What about any officers? Any characters? The adjutant. Tell us a bit more about him before he was killed.
Brave men, most of the officers. I couldn't run any of them down.
What about the colonel? What was he like?
Who?
Colonel Peters, was it?
Uh-huh. Oh, he was all right. He let me off for riding in subordinate phrases. But we didn't see much of him, you see. We were dispersed all over the place. And communication was terrible. The wireless sets we had, they wouldn't work. And in amongst the hills, you know, there's blank spots. And so it meant we had to trail signal lines with us to, you know, if you wanted to keep in, which meant the signal platoon got hammered terribly.
But you weren't in that.
Well, we were with them, but you know that was their particular.
You were still
task.
With Four Company, were you?
Hmm?
You were still with Four Company.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Was it still Four, or was it called D then?
Hmm?
Was it still Four Company, or was it D Company then?
Always Four Company. We were
always Four.
Always Four Company. I believe they did rename them sometime, but no, they were always Four Company.
So, any more incidents from the fighting?
Well, only this Effie and I. When we were further north in the mud and the mules, an awful lot of mules got injured. It was pitiful. And I was very horsey-minded. And we just talked about it. And I said, well, in this valley, there were several of them, some with their entrails hanging out. And we just said, well, we'll go and shoot them. So he and I went out into no man's land. And we shot a number. And Effie said to me, don't look, Smudger, but you see that bush over there? I said. He says, well, there's a bloody German behind it. And he didn't shoot us.
Because you were shooting the mules?
Well, I don't know. They must have been humane because he didn't. He could have killed us. But we pretended we hadn't seen. He whispered to me, behind that bush is a bloody German. And, of course, there was machine gun nests behind them. But they didn't shoot us.
Any other stories like that that show what it was like?
Well, there was this bayonet thing when, oh dear me.
Where was that at? Is that at Fearsoul? Or?
No, I was just trying to think where it was.
Well, if you can,
they were dug in a. They were in this village, and I know a girl. There's a girl showed us where there was a sniper in a building, and she showed us where he was. She said Tedeschi in there, and I don't know. They had a. It was on the side of a hill, this village, and they had a weapon pit. There were several of them in there, and we had to charge. And, the pit that I... There was one man in each pit, and this laddie, he had a machine pistol. But why I didn't get killed, I didn't know at the time, but I stuck the bayonet into it and fell in the hole with him. And... It was nearly dark, and I had to stay in the hole with him all night until he died. And then, I forget who it was, one of the NCOs came along, said, are you all right, Smudger? I said, yes, but I said, look at that, it was terrible. And he said, well, he says, you were damn lucky, and he picked his Schmeider, whatever it was, machine pistol, and it had had what they call a separated casing, where the extractor, it just pulled the rim off the round, and of course it didn't fire, jam the next round fired, so that's why I'm here. But for the grace of God.
Did he take long to die? What was it?
Oh, nearly all night. He gurgled and it was horrible. He's a blondy-haired laddie.
Could you do anything for him, or did you just leave him? Or?
Well, nothing I could do. And I was... I hated the guts of him at the moment, at that particular time, I mean.
But in retrospect, it's caused you a lot of distress.
Terrible.
Well, I think we'll stop that bit there.